Last week we started talking about lifting holy hands. And this week, I just want to continue in that vein. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. What are we supposed to do with our hands? We found out that we are to lift them. To lift them. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 15. God says, "And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stayed and hung out in one place, they stayed." Verse 18, "At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. They lived there, they hung out there, they stayed there. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode there, abode from evening until the morning, and the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was day or night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. In the day, if the cloud had taken up, if the cloud decided to move, they journeyed. At night, if the appearance of fire decided to move, they journeyed. Whether day or night, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses." We can see here, it says it over and over and over, as when the cloud stopped and just stayed in one place, the children of Israel, all millions of them, unpacked their tents, put up their tents, unpacked their luggage and so on. You know, they filled their dresser drawers back up with their clothes and all that type of stuff. And then when the clouds all of a sudden started to move, well, they packed everything up and they just off they went again. And they followed the cloud. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost is moving, as the Spirit of God is moving, we need to follow Him. Amen. As we talked about last week, about the man, the gentleman who measured out 1,000 cubits and then came out, brought the person ankle deep in the water, measured out another 1,000 cubits, went back, brought the person up to their knees, measured another 1,000, went back, got the person, and brought them to their loins. Went out, after they measured another 1,000, brought them out, and they were in the middle of the river. They couldn't touch the bottom. We saw how important it is to continually be moving, getting deeper into God, or moving up higher in God. And we can see here, it's important. When the Spirit of God is moving, we need to follow Him. God's not stagnant. He just doesn't stop. You know, it doesn't say, you know, if the cloud just hung out there for a decade or two or three, they lived there. No, it was a matter of, it was just, I mean, years, months, days. Hallelujah. "And when the cloud tarried long," verse 19, "upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge The next verse. Few days they stayed. Verse 21. From night till morning, or morning, night till morning. I mean, just one night. Whether it was day or night. Verse 22. If it was 2 days, if it was a month, or a year. Amen. God just didn't get comfortable somewhere and stay there for decades. God's moving on. And as we began to see last week, in the area of worship, God is moving on. We're being called to move up higher. So change ought not to be a scary thing. It ought not to be something that we rebel against. God, I don't want to move. I just got my dresser filled with my clothes. I just got the wash done. I'm going to stay here. I'll catch up to the cloud. I'm going to sit here and relax. I don't feel like moving. No, that's not what they did. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud abode, they abode. Amen? And you don't see a group of people decide, well, we're just going to, you know what? I anticipate God, he's going to go that way tomorrow. So if we head out today, we can get ahead of God. We can kind of just get out there, and then we can relax. We can get everything unpacked, and all of a sudden, you know, when the rest of the children of Israel show up, we're ready to go. We're relaxed. We're having, you know, we'll just get out there ahead of God. We'll get out, you know, doing our own thing. No, we found out that God said, Jesus told Brother Hagin that I can bless you only so far. I can bless you only so far. He said, spiritually, you've gone as far as you can under the present circumstances. I can only bless your plans to a certain degree. If I bless your plans and your desires beyond a certain degree, then I'm putting my stamp of approval on your plans. But God's stamp of approval is on his plans. We need to get his plan, and we need to pursue his plan with right motives, with right purposes. And so we need to not get ahead of God. We ought not to be, you know, lagging behind. When the cloud moves, we need to move. Thank God. When the word of God comes and it's like, oh, hey, but you know what? He never said here, put down, you know, those places. You used to hang out there. You hung out there for a couple days. That was fun. Or you hung out over there for a year. A lot happened in a year. You know, the kids grew in the year. A lot of good memories are over there in that year. But when the cloud moved, everyone had to move. He's not saying forget about those memories, put down those memories. Forget about those good times, no. It's just time to move on. So in worship, we ought not to forget about, hey, listen, you know, we had awesome times. When I came into this 20 years ago, we clapped. Oh, we clapped. We clapped. We clapped. We clapped. Oh, I came out of the Baptist church. Got into a charismatic church, and we clapped. We clapped for everything. Oh, it was so wonderful. Oh, it was so glorious. Oh, it was fun. Why? Because it just was more life than what we did in the Baptist church. But in 87, 1 month after Brother Hagin had the vision, and I heard that Jesus said, clapping is neither praise nor worship. Forget it. No. He had some scripture. Jesus shared some scripture. He began to share some things. Oh, glory to God. I'm open to whatever God's got. Amen. If this is the way, you know, if the cloud is beginning to move this way, well, let's move on. I just opened up, said, okay, so be it. Here we go. I just quit clapping. No, when I worship and praise God, I don't clap. Hallelujah. Moving with the cloud. Amen? Moving with the cloud. We ought not to think that everything has to be done, you know, the way it was when we were out there for a year. We ought to be thankful. Amen? So grateful for the time that we had back there for the year. The time that we spent over there by that well that had such good water. Whoo! We were there one day. Lord, the cloud's moving. You want to leave now? The water in this well is just incredible. Can't we just stay here for a while? We have to fill up big buckets full. I mean, just, Lord, wait, hold it. No, it's time to move. Thank God. Glory to God. But we're moving on. We're moving on with God. We're getting deeper. Amen. Oh, the ankle water, I mean, is great. But it's time to get into our knees. It's time to get up to our loins, our waist. It's time to get into the river. Amen. Moving up higher. It ought not to be a scary thing. And we ought not to rebel against moving up with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, let's turn to John chapter 4. This will be basically our theme scripture. The way it looks, we may continue next week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 4, in verse 23. Jesus says, "But the hour cometh and now is." The woman at the well said, "I perceive you're a prophet." I mean, you moved in the manifestation of the Spirit. I perceive you're a prophet. So you ought to be able to answer my question. You've got a little inroad with God here. He shares with you some things. Here's my question. We worship here, you worship there. Who's right? And Jesus said, "Neither of us are right anymore. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers," say true worshipers, "true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." God's saying the true worshipers. In the Old Testament, they weren't true worshipers. Why? Because they worshiped God in the flesh. They were not born again. They could not worship God in spirit and in truth. They worshiped in the flesh. They worshiped from their soul. Worship from the soul is not true worship. God says, because they weren't born again. They worshiped from their soul. They worshiped from their flesh. They did things before the Lord. The Bible talks about they danced before the Lord. Well, that's not right in the new covenant. Being born again, we dance in the Spirit. Amen? We dance in the Spirit. Everything ought to be done in the Spirit. We worship God in spirit and truth. We worship God from our spirit. We worship him from our heart. Why? Because God is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. How do we communicate with a spirit? From our spirit. That's why God made us spirit, soul, and body. So we can commune and have fellowship with him. Hallelujah. Spirit. Our spirit communicates with him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. We worship him from our spirit. We worship him in the spirit and truth. What's the truth? The word of God. If we get beyond the word of God, then we're not worshiping in spirit and truth. We're worshiping, we could be worshiping in spirit and our own opinions, our spirit and our own plans. And that's what Jesus is talking about now. It's time to change. It's time to worship me in spirit and in truth. We're getting more light on the word of God. The light is being turned up. We walked in the light 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I was walking in the light that I had. Amen. The light that was being taught. We clapped. Walking in the light. God's not mad at us for walking in the light. That's all the light we had. Amen. And he moved. But now he's saying, "I'm turning the light up, and I want more of my power, more of my glory to be in manifestation. Therefore, I'm turning the light up so you can begin to understand things more clearly, see things more accurately." And in seeing things more accurately, we ought to move with the cloud, move with the appearance of fire, get on deeper into the water. Amen? Moving up higher. And he said, they that worship him must. Say the word must.
Must.
Say the word must.
Must.
Amen. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But you know what? Just because God said we need to worship him in spirit doesn't mean that our body and our soul are left out. Oh, thank God. When we worship him in spirit, our soul gets affected. Our body gets affected. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we need to just step out in faith with our soul and our body, and we'll slip into the spirit. Sometimes we just has to be a choice of faith. Father God, you said, they that worship me must worship in spirit and truth. I don't feel like worshiping you. I don't feel like talking to you. I don't feel like being joyful and excited. I've got situation and circumstance in my life where I feel like doing nothing. I feel like crying. I feel like yelling. I don't feel like worshiping and glorifying your name. The Bible says the flesh, or this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I tell you what, your flesh is always willing to worship. Your spirit is always willing to worship. Your spirit is always willing to be obedient to God. Your spirit's always willing to get hooked up and do the truth. It's our flesh that doesn't always want to do it. Even with our flesh trained, there's sometimes, listen, our body just does not, I don't want to stand up and worship you. I don't want to raise my hands. Dear God, I'm tired. I want to leave my hands in my pocket. I want to sit, forget about sitting. I just want to lay down. God says, lift the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Glory to God. Sometimes we just need to make a decision. Did you know that the majority rules? Majority rules. We are spirit, soul, and body. Our body wants to do something, you know, and our spirit wants to do something. The deciding person, the majority, is our soul. Amen. I will pray in the spirit. I will pray in the understanding. Our will makes the deciding factor. That's why we need to renew our mind. That's why we worship in spirit and truth. The truth will cause our mind, the word of God causing our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul to be renewed. All of a sudden, our soul will always jump in, or most of the time. As we train it more and more, it'll always side in with our spirit. And the flesh always will lose out. Majority rules. Hallelujah. In spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Worship in spirit. Worship in spirit. Worship in spirit. Glory to God. And it affects our body. You know, sometimes it doesn't take long, but you begin to worship God. Glorify God from your heart. And your body begins being strengthened. All of a sudden, the joy of the Lord starts leaking out of your spirit into your body, and you start getting happy. You start getting joyous. You start getting ready to dance. Hallelujah. That's all I could do to keep my feet from moving, Pastor Jeff. It's all I could do. Oh, that ought not to be so. It ought to be all we can do to yield to the Spirit. Glory to God. That's all I could do to keep my hands from... It's all I could do to keep them down. No. Worshiping from our spirit. Boing. Glorifying God. Hallelujah. It's all I could do to keep from running. If there was a seatbelt in my chair, I would have put it on. All I could do to keep from running, shouting, glory to God. Oh, no. Hallelujah. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. When it starts getting all over our body, well, dance, glory to God. Run, shout hallelujah. Amen. If he's not, don't try to make it. If he's not moving that way, don't try to make it up. Dear God, if the cloud's not moving, don't get out from under. You know, that cloud during the day kept it nice and shady and cool for him, too. Under the hot sun in the wilderness, in the desert, Oh, thank God for that cloud. You got out up there, all of a sudden it got hot and it is miserable. Sometimes we want to get out beyond God. Huh? You know, we want to get ahead of him. We want to do something else. Oh my, it's kind of hot and miserable out here, God. Why aren't you helping me? I ain't moving. Come back here. Amen? Hallelujah. We're learning. We need to learn. Keep growing up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm wanting to grow up. Continue moving, moving, moving. We want to worship. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You know, when we get out beyond God, it can be a very dangerous place. Within the cloud, there was protection also. You know, in the wilderness, I mean, there's wild animals. I mean, there's snakes. There's you know, all that type of thing. We know there were snakes and vipers because there was one spot when the children of Israel were disobedient that the camp was infested with venomous snakes. Thousands of people were killed. And God said, listen, Moses, what you need to do? Put up that stick. Stick up that big pillar with a snake on it. Everyone that gazes, fixes their eyes on it, is majorly attentive to it, I'll heal them. They can feel the snake running around their legs, running between their toes. You keep your eyes fixed on that snake, and I'll keep the venom from killing you. Those that have already been bitten, quit looking at the holes in your leg. Quit looking at the holes in your back. Keep your eyes focused. Amen? The Bible says running the race. Running the race. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Not just every now and then taking a quick glance. Oh, there's. Behold the Lamb. John said, behold the Lamb. Looking unto Jesus. Fixing your gaze on him. Fixing your gaze on him. No matter what's going on, our gaze is fixed on him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if we don't, amen, there was that protection being under the cloud. And we get out beyond God. You know, we can get out beyond God even trying to do godly things. Ministers can see people in wheelchairs. They can see the need of the people. We can see the great need and the great lack. And because our hearts are so out to help someone, we can go beyond God. And we can begin yielding. You know, that's why it's important. We need to understand that God is a supernatural God. And we ought to be seeking the supernatural, not the spectacular. Because when we seek the spectacular, you know, supernatural, sitting here, receiving the word of God, very supernatural. God's word is anointed. As we have our ears open to hear from the Spirit of God, he is supernaturally teaching and training us. That's supernatural. It's something done in the Spirit. That's supernatural. But if we think, you know, God's not moving because something spectacular is not going on, we miss it. All of a sudden, you get a minister. They want something spectacular going on. God's not moving that way. So they decide they're gonna yield to something. We gotta make something happen. The Bible says when you do that, you open yourself up to yield yourself to familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are demon spirits. I don't know about you, but I ain't wanting to yield myself to the devil. Familiar spirits. Well, I'm going to prophesy. You know, I have 15 people come up, and I'm going to prophesy for you. Matter of fact, I have these 15 people in wheelchairs. Why don't you roll up over here? I'm going to prophesy to you. Because I want you well. I want you to get out of those chairs. I want you to know the healing power of God, the miracle power of God. But they've forgotten that the Bible says the manifestations of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills, not as we will. As the Spirit wills. We are just a tool of passing the gift on to them. And they all of a sudden want something so bad to happen that they start yielding to familiar spirits. Yeah, well, how did they know? One pastor, how did he know I had that rare gem in the third drawer of my dresser, way in the back behind the pile of socks? Minister, came to a church, preached services, went to the pastor's office and said, you know, the Lord's telling me that you've got this rare gem. You've got it in that third, whatever drawer it was, we'll just say third drawer, behind that stuff, under that stuff. The Lord says, you're supposed to give that to me. The pastor thinking, dear God, well, he'd hit that right on the nail on the head. That's exactly where it is. That's exactly what it is. Okay. Come to find out later on, this guy is a scam. He's out telling everyone. He's out grabbing people's money. A con man. Yeah, but how did he know? Familiar spirits. You don't think God's the only spirit that's around, knows what we're doing. God is the only spirit that's omnipresent, everywhere present. He knows everything. All-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful. But you know what? The devil's got his little demons running all over the place. They're looking in your windows. They're watching what's going on. They saw you take that rare gem and stick it in the back there and cover it up. So all this guy has to do, yielding to familiar spirit, receives this revelation and says it's God. Sometimes the people do it dishonestly, but you know what? Some people, they think they really are because they want God to move so bad. They get out beyond the cloud. They get out beyond God. They get out beyond the protection. I don't know about you. I'm satisfied with whatever God's doing. Hallelujah. I'm satisfied with just hearing the word of God. Supernatural. If God moves spectacularly, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's exciting. Hallelujah. But if not, I choose to have my ears open, supernaturally hear from the word of God, supernaturally being strengthened in my inner man. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If the cloud's moving, move with the cloud. If the cloud's not moving, stay put. Hallelujah. Now, one more time, let me read what Jesus told Brother Hagin in Las Vegas. Spiritually, you have gone as far as you can under the present circumstances. Tell my people to stop clapping, and go to praising. Then they will move up to greater glory. Is it our heart's desire to move up to greater glory? Is it our heart's desire to move up to greater glory? Pardon? Thank you for 1.5 weak amens. Are we desiring to move up to greater glory? Amen. Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, Psalms 47. Last week I read every scripture in the Bible in regards to clapping, every form of clapping. Clap, clappeth, clapped, claps, clapper, clap, every form of clap in the Bible. Psalms 47 and verse 1. And it reads, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. You say, where does that come from? Mine starts out, oh. Well, I thought it started out O too. But when I went into my Bible program and I pulled it up on the computer, I'm looking. Okay, I want to get, you know, I'm figuring, O clap. I figure, you know, it's either the first or the second Hebrew word when I get into Psalms 47. So I click on the first one, double click it. What does it mean? Chief. Huh? The next one, musician. Huh? Had to look it again.
Oh. In the Hebrew, that's not written in little itty-bitty letters. Do you even have... Yeah, see? Little itty-bitty letters. It's not written in little itty-bitty letters. In the Hebrew, it says to the chief musician, the head music person, the worship leader, a psalm, a poem put to music, written by the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, there's two ways I'm going to go. First of all, in light of the purpose of this 47th Psalm, written to the head musician, written to the music leader, written by the sons of Korah, a song or a psalm that's put to music, the instruction is to clap your hands. In other words, clap your hands to keep time with the music. That's what we do. Clapping our hands, keep time with the music. Okay? That's one way that we're going to go. And that we've already gone there now. Okay? It is acceptable. Jesus did not say, don't clap ever. Clapping is wrong. He said, no, clapping is neither praise nor worship. Clapping is applause. We don't applaud God. We raise our hands to God. But in regards to music and keeping time with the music, oh, when I came out of the Baptist church, boy, that was exciting. And you know what? You find a lot of the mainline denominations now, they'll have a more contemporary service where they will clap to keep time with the music. That's all right. That is all right. Now, we'll go in our other direction. As I stated before, this word clap, this is the only time in the whole Bible. I mean, this is the only time in the whole Bible, you know, that this word is translated clap. This is the only time it's used in this setting. First law of Bible interpretation. The cults haven't figured this out. If they would, they'd get their theology straightened out. But cults take scriptures out of context and build a doctrine. First law of Bible interpretation. Use other scripture to interpret scripture. Also, God said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. New Testament. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. In other words, if it's only said once, we ought to be looking and checking out the Hebrew, in this case, Old Testament, this Hebrew word. It's probably translated inaccurately. We're not changing the Bible. We're not adding to and taking from the Bible. We're taking this Hebrew word translated clap. Let's find out what other words it means. I mean, if it means clap, there would be more scriptures in the Bible that would agree with it. There are none. Amen? So let's find out something else, what that Hebrew word means, in order that we may be able to line it up with other scripture. I looked up this word. The Hebrew word translated clap here is takah. The word takah is used a bunch of times in the Old Testament. It's translated, most of the time it's translated blow, as in blowing the trumpet. Most of the time, it's translated blow. There's sometimes, a couple times, it was translated drive. For example, remember that guy came into that lady's tent, and then he hid under the rug so he wouldn't get caught, and then she took a big stake and ran it through his head? Remember that story in the Old Testament? That's the Hebrew word, takah, to drive the stake through him. To drive the stake, to drive the nail. Remember when Absalom, riding his horse, his long, beautiful hair all of a sudden got caught in the trees, hanging there by his hair. And it says that a young man came in order to that the young man killed him so the enemy couldn't come and kill him. And the young man threw darts or drove darts into him, whether it was a spear or, you know, some type of knives, throwing knives, who knows. But the Bible says that he drove or taka darts into Absalom and killed him. He didn't clap and kill him. He drove the darts into him and killed him. Also, a number of times talking about, and I don't remember if it's in regards, remember the first scripture we read? When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stayed, they abode, and they pitched their tents. That's what this taka also means, to pitch your tent, to put up your tent, to drive the spikes in, to keep the walls up and so on. That's what this Hebrew word means. Now, let's find out some other things it means. Because he's not saying, you know, drive your hands, all ye people. He's not saying pitch your tent. Amen? So what are some other things? The word taka also means to clang an instrument. Well, that would fit in there. And that would fit with a lot of other scriptures. God is a very instrumental. He doesn't talk about clapping hands. He talks about using your instruments as the instruments, those blowing the trumpets, those with the cymbals, those with all the instruments of music got together. Amen? Music, clanging with an instrument. It also means to become a bondsman by hand clasping. In other words, shaking hands, holding hands. Hold hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We can hold hands together. That's what the Bible talks about, clasping or holding hands. It also means to cast. What happens when you cast a stone? Or you cast, you know, you've got your fishing rod and you cast. I don't cast like that. You cast. Hallelujah. Cast. It also means to thrust. Thrust. Thrust your hands. Cast your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Glory to God. Now, those meanings of the Hebrew word would be more accurate to have been translated than clap. There's a number of them. We talked about there. It could have been translated a number of things. Thrust, cast, clasp, clang with an instrument. I was talking about musicians. This is the only scripture. And so if we take some other meanings of that Hebrew word, we're more accurately able to see what God meant in this scripture. And that lines up with the rest of the Bible. We've already talked about, you know, in the New Testament, lifting your hands, lifting your holy hands. Hallelujah. Also, Billy Brim, she went to school in Israel to learn Hebrew. She hung out with the Hebrew people. And she, there was one festival, one celebration or yearly feast that she was involved in while she was there, going to school. And it was when, remember when Joseph and Mary and Jesus, all the people had to go to the temple? Every year they go to the temple. Well, she was there during this time of year, and everyone walked. And Jerusalem and the temple are raised. The temple is raised. So you walk up to the temple. And they started from Nazareth. And she said, you sing songs. And you sing songs. And as you get closer to the temple, as you get closer to the Shekinah glory of God, as you get closer to the presence of God, the songs change. The songs change. And on the south side of the temple, there's some stairs that you would enter up. And she said, just normal stairs, a bunch of stairs like this, just normal stairs, walking, walking, walking. But then she said, you get to a spot where there's a broad step or a broad stair. For example, let's say it's like this. All of a sudden, you got steps, and then you've got a broad step. She said, once you hit that broad step, the song changed. Your posture would change. As you got closer, she said, there's two, maybe three postures that would take place in the presence of God. You're on your knees. You're lying out flat, prostrate before God. Or as she said, yada. Yada is a Hebrew word. Ya, meaning hand. Da, meaning extended. Hand extended. This is a Hebrew word that's used, she said, around 100 times in the Old Testament. And we thought there was only a couple scriptures in the Bible that said, lift your hands. Yada. Hands extended. In the presence of God, as you got closer, the songs changed. Your posture changed. She said, Hebrew people are not much for clapping. So I believe her. She would know. I don't. But she said, if they did, they may clap in Nazareth. But as they got closer, and as they got into the presence of God, that would be inappropriate. That would be irreverent to do in the presence of God. So we can see how God wants us moving up higher. Amen. He wants us to be moving with Him. And as we get closer, as we draw near to Him, Jesus said, listen, the way we've done things before has changed. The way things we've done, 5, 10, 20 years, things have changed because we're getting closer. We're drawing near to Him. Things are changing. Glory to God. Glory. We're getting closer. You think God would be instructing us to change if we were getting farther away? No, it's like, well, go ahead, do what you want. But no, we're getting closer. And there's change. There's change because we're getting closer. We're moving up higher. Oh, it's exciting. God's preparing us to even move up higher yet. God's preparing us to move on closer, drawing near to Him. Korban, drawing near with the sacrifice of praise. Our praise is our korban, what we draw near with. One of the things, anyways. Yada, hands extended. Glory to God. Glory to God. So just to close today, God says, spiritually, you've gone as far as you can under the present circumstances. Tell my people to stop clapping and go to praising. Then they will move up to greater glory. We're moving with the cloud. We're moving with the cloud. We're moving, being guided and directed by the man that's measured out the 1,000 cubits. We're moving deeper into the water. We're moving higher into his, we're ascending into his presence. Just as they ascended to the temple, we're moving up, moving up. Oh, so excited about change, so excited about being obedient to God, so excited about yielding to his plan in order that we might get his results. Glory to God. Not putting down and not condemning for what we've done, but we're moving on. So grateful. Good memories. Good memories. And you know what? Next year we'll have good memories of this year. And the next year we'll have good memories of this year and next year. Hallelujah. Every place good memories of what God is doing, about how God is bringing us up higher, how God is leading and guiding us. Glory to God. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.